welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You may note this as the Great Love chapter. We're going to take a look at the first part of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What a powerful passage of Scripture, and what an amazing reminder to us the importance of love and just how love is ultimately the central heart of how we're to live, how we're supposed to represent God and love each other. And, you know, this passage is so full in so many ways of things that remind us. You know, the first three verses just say, you know, look, you could have it all. I remember the Lord asked me that once when I was reading that. I think it was verse two. I was just reading through, though, I have the gift of prophecy, understand mysteries. I don't know if I was reading it kind of, the Spirit of God just challenged me, said, Ed, do you really believe that? Just like, do I believe that? If you could, in a moment of time, have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, you have all knowledge, you see everything, and you got faith to move mountains, but you know, you just couldn't put up with people, would it be that big of a deal? How important is love? And it's like, yeah, it's really that important. You could have all this stuff. In other words, there's no security. You have all that stuff. You think I've got. In other words, man in the garden, we chose knowledge, and we've been clinging to it ever since. We've had a death grip. If I can just know, I'm empowered by knowledge. I just need to know. My freedom is in knowledge. You can have all knowledge, but without love, it's nothing. There's a love that passes knowledge. We've been looking at, over the last several weeks, the love of God. Like I said, what I'll typically do at Door of Life is I'll have a quarterly God loves you message, and I'll try to disguise it a little bit, but that's basically, in essence, what it is, and God's just kept bringing me back to God loves you. God loves you. It's just like I couldn't get away. And so we've been on this series, just the love of God, staying with the love of God till you believe it. John said, we've known and believed the love. And sometimes you got to stay with something. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, getting it into your heart. God loves you. God is for you. There is something that disarms you to the core of your being when you know that God loves you. I'd related that experience several weeks ago that I'd had, that I just woke up in the presence of the love of God. And it was like, wow, there was just no defensiveness, no bitterness, no hatred. I just knew God loved me. You know, your mind goes, but they think. But you hear the Spirit of God saying, I love you. I love you. I'm for you. And His voice overrides all the other voices, and you're loved, and you know you're loved. And the cool thing was, in that presence, in that experience, not only did I just not feel the defensiveness and hatred and all that kind of rejection and all that stuff was gone, because perfect love casts out all fear. When you're in the presence of God's love and you know you're loved, the fear is just gone. You don't care what anybody else thinks, not in an insecure way, but you don't care because you're secure in God's love. You know that he loves you. You know you're not perfect, but you know he loves you, and you allow that love to secure you. And the other thing that I said in that presence, like I didn't have to feel sorry for myself. There was no self-pity. I had no need for self-pity anymore. That was gone. There's a security in the love of God you experience in his presence. And what's important about this, when you look at 1 Corinthians 13 and you see the description of love and what it looks like, I was going through this passage just like we do, and we look at it and we think, wow, okay, this is kind of like my love checklist. How am I doing? How am I supposed to love people? I look at this, and this is an important application of this verse. This is how we're to love people. But as I was reading through it one day, the Lord flipped it on me. He said, Ed, it's not just that this is how you're supposed to love people. This is how I love you. This is how I love you. In other words, it's the same word, agape. For God so loved the world, agape, he sent his only begotten son. Agape is patient. Agape is kind. God is agape, all right? So when you're thinking about love and how we're supposed to love, we got to realize this is the way God loves us. In fact, this is the way John puts it too. He says, we love him because he first loved us. In other words, we love because he loved. We didn't love first, he loved first, and then we love. He loves us in a way that models love for us to love. It's his love for us that helps us understand how to love. We experience that. That's why the scripture says, forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven you. But there is a cart and a horse thing here when it comes to our love walk with people. And that's the love that God has for us. And I think, again, this is part of the series of just going back to the love of God and letting that love in and allowing yourself to experience the love of God. Because when you say, God loves you, what does that mean? It can mean a lot of different things. But we find out in this verse, in a very specific way, exactly what it means. God loves you. He's patient with you. He's kind with you. He doesn't envy. He doesn't parade. He doesn't behave rudely. He doesn't seek his own. He's not easily provoked. He thinks no evil toward you. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity, rejoices in the truth, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things with you. That's his love for you. And so as we're looking at it this morning, I want to be able to kind of walk through this passage in a way that when we think God loves you, we're not just thinking of the event of the crucifixion and resurrection 2,000 years ago. That was his saving love for us. Absolutely. We're all here today because of that. But God doesn't just love us in a way that saves us. He loves us in the here and now in a way that sustains us. That love saved us, and that love sustains us. When I get up in the morning, I can get up in the morning in the love of God. That love of God goes with me. That love of God is in my heart. And so, again, I just want to this morning, I guess, maybe we could subtitle, but the title of this message is actually The Quality of God's Love. So when we say God loves you, something very specific is going to register. God loves me and gave himself for me and died on a cross for me 2,000 years ago. Yes, praise God, it's why we're all here today. But God loves me in a way that is presently patient with me, presently kind, presently bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things. There is a friendship with God that we have that is active and present, and I'm just believing that to come out this morning as we kind of minister on this, the quality of God's love in our Love of God series here this morning. And you could almost subtitle this, Where God's Love Meets Real Life, okay? We're going to look at some very practical ways that God loves us and to recognize that and to see that this is God's love for us. So first of all, we see as we're looking at God's love is that God's love is approachable. And we're just going to kind of walk through this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It's not a showy thing. It's a very deliberate, patient, kind, graceful love that he has for us. And we see that here in the way Jesus describes that love that he has for us. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. You can see the disarming invitation here. There's no condemnation here. Why are you carrying heavy burdens? Why are you weary? What's going on? No, he just says, come. He says, come and find rest for your soul. There's an invitation. That love is patient. It's kind. It's approachable. You think about that. I remember one time, boy, this is probably about, 10, 12 years ago now, but our kids were just coming home from school. It was all four of them before we had Abby. And they were coming through the front door, and all of a sudden Sam would just come to the front. Sam was our little mini dachshund. And he'd come to the front door, and he would just start barking and wagging his tail, and they would just all be going, oh, Sammy, Sammy, Sam, Sam, Sam. And there was this little, every day, there was this little love fest every time they'd come home from school with their little dog, Sammy. And I just remember thinking to myself, if I believed God was half as excited to see me as my dog is to see my kids, man, I'd be praying all the time. That there's this disarming. When there, you'd see that, the barking, and it was just joy. It was just disarming. There was no pretense. There was no concern. It was just, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. To see that God's love is approachable. Whether you're having a good day, well, there's a song out right now, a recent song that says, in my best day, I'm a child of God. In my worst day, I'm a child of God. Every day, I'm a child of God. It's not whether you had a good day or a bad day or whatever. It's come unto me. It's not if you had a good day, okay, now you can come. No, just come unto me. In fact, he's targeting a certain group when he says this. He's saying the ones who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. Let me teach you. I'm humble and gentle at heart. In other words, you're not coming to a harsh person. You're coming to a kind and gentle person who's offering rest for your souls. He doesn't even say answers for your questions. He says rest for your souls. I'll tell you what, that's the kind of approachable love that he has. It's come unto me. It's a kind, tender, approachable love. So what does that mean? It means that no matter where I'm at in my day, no matter how I'm feeling, if I'm heavy laden or not, that invitation is open for me. It is truly an open door that I can come. That's the kind of love. That's the quality of love that God has for us. There's no hoops that have to be hit here. It's just come unto me as you are. And to see that disarming kind of a gentle, caring, compassionate love. Sometimes I think of, if you guys have probably seen The Wizard of Oz through the years, but when they would approach the Wizard of Oz, and you had that big green head and these flames and the anger and all that, the Wizard of Oz, and it's like, oh my goodness. It was just this terrifying, intimidating presence. And we think about God. We were singing about this morning, the glory of God and the majesty of God, and yet it wasn't a terrifying, fearful, scare you off kind of a glory and majesty. It was a welcoming, loving, gracious love of God that's in his majesty and his glory. So it's important to understand that he is approachable. And this is what I love the way Jesus puts it too. Again, this is the quality of God's love. What does it say? It says he doesn't parade himself. He's not puffed up. There's not this arrogance. There's not this show. There's not this agenda. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father in private, then your Father who sees everything will reward you. You can see this kind of love come through just in the instructions of Jesus. He's saying, look, I love you, not in a showy way. There's nothing I'm trying to get from you. There's no angle. I just love you in a private prayer closet kind of a way. I just want you to come and fellowship with me and just have your prayer time with me. No glory, no points. Nobody's going to see you being spiritual or anything like that. But what does that speak to? It's the quality of God's love. It's not showy. It's not to be seen of men. In other words, it's the real thing. There's times that you've had with God that are just between you and Him. And that's pretty cool. And that's the way it's supposed to be. In fact, even when you're worshiping in a service like this with other believers, there's intimate moments you're having by the Spirit of God that are between you and Him, that are just quiet, that are private. They're not showy. You can see that that's the kind of love that He has for you. He's not doing something. He's not having a relationship with you to get something out of that relationship to benefit self. And so, He just loves you. It's just a private, sweet, approachable love. Finally, we get this admonition. So then, since we have a great high priest who's entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. He was faced with all the same testings we do, yet He didn't sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. So there we will receive His mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it most. I love that. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. A lot of times you'll think of in the military, a sergeant with a private, and that private is just standing at attention. And before that private can really, before you know what's in that private's heart and mind really, there's two things that have to be said: at ease and permission to speak freely. You kind of get those granted. Okay, you're at ease and you have permission to speak freely. This is what we have with the Lord. This is the quality of love that we have with Him. It's approachable. Sometimes we can get into prayer, and have you ever done that? You're praying and you're praying what you think the Lord wants you to hear, Him to hear. You want to pray right, and you want to dot your I's and cross your T's, and the Lord says, no, you can just pray from your heart. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Get what's in your heart out. Sometimes when you hear yourself say some things in your heart, you'll see the correction. You know, when it comes out your mouth, you go, oh, wow, okay. You have the freedom to speak freely before our gracious God. He understands our weaknesses. Face the same testings. As we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, experienced our human condition. But He understands us. He gets us. So this is a quality of love that's approachable. It's not showy. It's nothing that you're trying to get, you know, spirituality points or win a spirituality contest. It truly is intimate between you and the God of the universe. Wow. I'll tell you what, that's beautiful. It's what we want. In the core of our being, we want that kind of intimate, true love. And that's what God offers us. He's saying, come boldly to receive mercy and grace, to get what's in our hearts out. And so that's important to understand. God loves you in a way that isn't showy. He's patient. He's kind. He says, come unto me. The other aspect, attribute, we'll say a quality of God's love, is that there's a peacefulness. There's a peacefulness about His love. Love doesn't behave rudely, doesn't seek its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Now, we think, of course, loving people this way. This is a good heart checklist to keep our hearts in line, to keep us, you know, make sure that we're treating each other right. But it's important to understand this is God's agape love toward us. He doesn't behave rudely. He doesn't seek His own. He's not easily provoked. He thinks no evil. That's His heart toward you. He tells us we agape because He first agaped us. We love because He loves us this way. Just to see, when we say God loves you, this is what we mean. He doesn't behave rudely. He's not easily provoked. He doesn't think evil. James puts it this way, kind of contrasting kind of man's ways and God's ways. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. That wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we see when God speaks, when love speaks, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle. When God speaks to your heart, there's peace. There's a loving, it's not rude, it's not harsh, it's peaceable, it's kind. Let me put it this way, when God corrects you, it's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits. When God warns you of danger, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle. It's full of mercy and good fruits. In other words, you can keep an open ear to whatever God is going to tell you. You don't have to be afraid of being corrected by God. You don't have to be afraid of being warned of pending danger or things to come. Because the way he speaks to you is something that is hearable, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. You have ears to hear the way he talks to you. He talks to you in love. The truth in love that you may grow up. In other words, whatever truth God is conveying to you, he's going to speak to you in a way that you can hear it, that you can get it. I often have that question sometimes, because when you look at that other kind of wisdom, that the bitter envy, the strife, you know, the two kinds of wisdom, that demonic wisdom and that godly wisdom, it's tricky sometimes because they're, in some ways, they're so similar, all right? They're kind of similar in the way you can experience them. A lot of times, when you experience that wisdom from above, man, there's a spontaneity about it. There's a peace about it. It lines up with the Word of God, and it leads you to, you know, an insight or an understanding, right? Comparing spiritual with spiritual, it's good. That demonic wisdom can also have that same thing. It's spontaneous, many times a trigger of something. And you're comparing hurt with hurt, and it makes sense, and there's a logic to it. So it can feel the same way, but there's two trajectories of God's wisdom and demonic wisdom. The trajectory of demonic wisdom is confusion and every evil work. The trajectory of God's wisdom is peace and gentleness, regardless of the content of what's getting communicated. This is talking about the voice that's behind what God is saying. So when you're talking about God loving you, he is loving you with a wisdom that's from above. He's loving you with the wisdom so that when you come unto him, you're not afraid of what he's going to say. Even if he's going to tell you what you don't want to hear, he's going to tell you to you in a way that's pure and peaceable and gentle and willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. He'll show you what you need to see. He'll tell you what you need to hear in a way that you see it. And that wisdom is from above. It's a wisdom you don't have to be afraid of. Here's an amazing example of the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. He's getting sent off to Rome. And he's about to go on a ship. And he knows in his heart it's not right. And it said, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only with the cargo of the ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Okay, so Paul's about to go on this voyage, and he knows. He's got wisdom from above. This is going to be a dangerous thing. Paul is himself speaking very clearly. He's speaking very matter of fact. He's not panicked. He's just saying, this is what the Lord has shown me is going to happen. And scene two, they go out. They sail anyway. They get in a big storm. Just about when all hope is lost, Paul has another word. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" Now, we're kind of reading it in this manner, but this is a storm. This is wind and waves and rain beating against your face, and it looks like you're going to die. In the middle of that, Paul just had that word. He had that word from the Lord. Now, that's, of course, allegorical for us. There's stuff that we're going through. We can be in the middle of all different kind of crisis, relationship, financial, different things like that. But right in our storm, how does he speak to us? There's peace. He's going to speak to us in a way that we get it, that we don't have to be afraid to hear what God is going to say about anything. That is freeing. When I can go before God in prayer and not be afraid of what he's going to tell me, not because of what he's going to tell me, but because of how he's going to tell me it. This is a quality of love. And this has to get rid of our religious perceptions about God in different ways. He loves you. He's going to speak the truth in love. And here's the cool thing. God knows you better than you know you. And what that means is different from person to person. He's going to speak it to you in a way that you get it. He's going to speak it to you in a way that you're going to hear it. But we just have to have ears to hear. We just have to say, Lord, here is the situation. I might be 100% wrong, 0% wrong. I don't care what it is, but God, just show me. Give me your wisdom. Lead and guide me by your Spirit. Lord, I just submit this to you. And I know that whatever you say, it's going to be right. It's going to be pure, peaceable, gentle. What is this? This is the quality of God's love. This is the way he speaks to us. It's not just the way we love, but it's the way we are loved by God. Not only that, but it's honest. This is really important to understand, too. It's a love that is pure, it's gracious, it's peaceable, but it's absolutely honest. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. This is the love of God. The love of God, sometimes people will refer to the love of God when you really talk about love a lot, and God's love is sloppy agape, all right? In other words, well, you can just do whatever you want to do, and it doesn't matter, and God doesn't care, and it's just, that's not true. God's agape is not sloppy. God's agape absolutely rejoices, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. In other words, God loves you, and he will tell you when you're wrong. Because he loves you. In other words, God, he'll sympathize and have a shared feeling with what you're going through. But if you cross lines over into corrupt communication or things that are going to be destructive, what happens? There's a grieving of the Holy Spirit. And this is the love of God. The love of God that rejoices in the truth. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. That's why when you get something that's right and it's of God, there's a joy. That's right. That's good. That's God. There's like a rejoicing. Yeah, that's it. But when you're off, when you start to go off in your mind, in your heart, and you get out of love, because that's really what verse 29, it's all about love. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. When we listen to the enemy or the accuser of the brethren and we get off and we begin to, in our heart and our mind, you know, begin to tear people down either with our mouth or in our thoughts, or all of a sudden there's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's a grieving ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've said it many times. I'm very thankful for the grieving ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm not glad that I make him grieve, but I'm glad that he does grieve when I get off. There's nobody who has a favor or an in with God that you can get away with evil or wrong. There's no religious favor that trumps the truth of God's word. He isn't a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of his word. He's true to his word. My life is bunked up against this book many times. And it's like, man, the Bible's right again. You know? You see it, and it's like, I knew that. Yep. And I'm so glad that God's that way. He loves you. Hebrews 12 says, he corrects those he loves as a child. He loves you, and he corrects. That's a part of his love for you. In other words, if you're going in a wrong direction, he isn't going to say, okay, that's okay to your destruction. The enemy will. The enemy has a demonic empathy that will say it's okay all the way. God won't. There will be a grieving. There will be something that says, this is off. This is wrong. God help me. God show me. Give me grace to help me to do what I'm supposed to do. But there is a grieving ministry of the Holy Spirit that will cause you to make adjustments. That's the love of God. Where would we be without that grieving ministry of the Holy Spirit? If we just went, we'd probably be in jail right now, a lot of us. If you just went in the thoughts of everything that you had in your mind, no, the Holy Spirit reels you back and says, no, come back to center again. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't think that. You know, come back. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Why? He rejoices in the truth. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity. He'll sympathize and have a shared feeling with the stuff you're going through, but he won't rejoice in revenge. He won't rejoice in hatred. He won't rejoice in things that tear people down. He won't rejoice in that. He'll call you to do what he's done, to forgive even as he has forgiven you. That's the love of God. He'll do that by his word. He does that by his spirit and by his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. In other words, the Holy Spirit will also bring scripture back to our remembrance. Oh yeah, I'm going to love, I'm going to forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. But this is the love of God. I'm so glad that the one who I've entrusted lordship over my life to isn't afraid of me. He's not afraid of you. He loves you. He doesn't fear you. There's no fear in love, which includes him not being afraid of you. He's not afraid to tell you what you need to hear. But you got to remember how he'll tell you. He'll tell you in a way that's true and honest and just and pure and loving. You just got to trust him. Trust that, okay, Lord, show me the answer to this. Because so many times we stay out of prayer because we're afraid of what we're going to hear in prayer. We're afraid to confront things in prayer because we're afraid of what he's going to say. Well, I can tell you one thing. Whatever he tells you, why don't I have to be afraid to confront things in prayer? Because he's love, and he's a God of love, and he loves me the way he calls me to love people. He suffers long and is kind. I can bring that big, ugly issue to him in prayer, and no matter what he says about it, it's going to be right. It's going to be true. He's going to come down on the side of truth in a way that ministers, that's going to be full of mercy and good fruits and peaceable and gentle. The way he'll get that through to me. See, that's the way it is. When God corrects you in that way, it's like, thanks, I needed that. I see that. Yes, that's right. You know, people could tell you the same thing, and God tells you it by his spirit. It's like, yeah, that's good. That's right. But that's the way he is. He is kind. He's gentle. And then finally, loyal. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Have you found that out about God? You know, Dave was talking about in worship. Just think of the stuff he's brought you through. Have you ever failed and God was just right there in the middle of your failure to see you through? Yeah, it's because he bears all things. He believes all things. He's that way with you. You know, people might give up on you. People might have thrown the towel and say, that's it. God hasn't thrown in the towel. He's loyal. He just stays with you and stays with you and stays with you. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's going to be true to you. He's going to be true to the covenant through Jesus Christ that he made with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. There's nothing that can separate, and this is our final scripture. What can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a loyalty to his love for you. He knows you're human. He knows you miss it, but he stays with you. He sticks with you. Another good song, The God Who Stays. He is the God who stays, and that's why he's stuck with you, because he loves you. There's a loyalty that he has with you. What is this? Why is this important? We love because he first loved us. It can be so easy to get caught up in bitterness and short-sightedness simply because we don't have a relationship with God that we experience his love like this. When we let him love us like this and say, yeah, Lord, no matter what I'm going through today, you perfectly love me. Not just in a way that saved me, but in a way that sustains me every day, no matter what I'm going through. I can come and you just love me with the perfect love. You're not afraid of me, and when you talk to me, you know how to speak my language in a way that I get it. And I just love that. Love never fails. It basically means it never gives up. You know, we got a new little mini dachshund now, and his name is Romeo. And, you know, we all have our different ways of getting along with Romeo and loving Romeo. Me and Romeo have a little, we have a little fight relationship. He'll come along, and he'll just kind of bite at my arm, just pick a fight. And he just loves to do that because he just knows that we love to go around and, you know, snarl and fight with him. And I can just do all kinds of things to him, and no matter what I do to him, he just keeps coming back at me. You know, and he's just wagging his tail and just loving it. He could just do it all day long, and eventually I get tired, you know. And no matter how badly I'm beating him up, I just got to stop because I'm tired. And then he just keeps coming, and then when I get tired, he just claims victory and goes off, and he won another round, you know, because he just never gives up, no matter what. And so, you know, it's, you know, he's undefeated as far as he's concerned in our little battles. No matter how badly I beat on him, because he just won't give up. So there's a tenacity. There's just a never giving up tenacity. And I think of the love of God, it never gives up. Just think about that. I mean, would you have given up on you? Be honest. If you were in the Lord's shoes and you had to observe your walk with you, would you have maybe given up on you a few different times? Probably in our natural humanness, but he doesn't give up on you. He stays with you, and he stays with you. It's almost kind of like that widow woman who just wore out the unjust judge until she got justice. There came a point where that unjust judge had to say, "Uncle, okay, you're going to get justice." And I'll tell you what, the love of God can do that to us in a good way, too. And say, okay, no matter what, you're going to stay with me. Okay, Lord, here we go. I'm all in. I believe. There's like an argument the love of God will make with your life. And go, okay, you really aren't going anywhere, are you? Okay, I'm going to just hear, yes, Lord, what am I fighting this for? I love you. I love you too, Lord. It's a love that causes your heart to really believe and know you're loved by God. So what are we talking about this morning? It's just the quality of God's love. What does it mean when we say God loves you? It means he's approachable. Anytime, any day, no matter how heavy laden you are, no matter if you're angry at him and you don't get stuff, all he does is just say, come. I'll give you rest for your soul. I'll help you. I'm going to talk to you. And whatever I have to say to you, it's going to be pure, peaceable, gentle. You don't have to be afraid. You can have ears to hear what I'm saying. I'm going to say it to you in a way, I know you. I created you. I know how to speak your language. I know how to get, all I need is a listening ear for what I'm saying. It's honest. He's going to shoot straight with you. If there's adjustments that you need to make, those adjustments will be deliverance for you. The truth will make you free. And as you have ears to hear what he's saying, those adjustments are, it's going to be like, wow, why didn't I do this a long time ago? It's all good, and it's loyal. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the truth of the quality of your love. We just thank you as we're just getting a revelation of your great love for us, Lord, these last several weeks, that when we understand that fact that you love us, that we understand what that means, that it's a real life, everyday, approachable, gracious love. Father, I pray that each one here right now would just experience the sense and the grace of that love. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe your love is a sustaining love. You love me now. You're approachable. I can always come to you. I can come boldly at any time. And I can trust the things you say will be said in love, pure and peaceable, gentle and kind. I open my ears, Lord. Speak to my heart what I need to hear. I thank you that you're true. You're not afraid of me because you love me. I trust that love. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Again, I just feel like it was kind of a rounding off our our series on the love of God with just kind of a real reality check. What does that mean? God loves you. Man, it means he loves you the way he wants you to love. The way you think I'm supposed to love people, that's the way he loves you. That's the agape that he loves you with. See that. See that in his character. See that in your relationship. See that when you're saying, I don't go to prayer. I just don't. Yeah, he's more excited to see you than your dog is to see you when you get home today. He loves you with an everlasting love. There's a disarming openness there. It's just a trust to just go there and allow yourself to go there in his love. Amen. Praise God.